when I use the word hospitality, what is the first thing that you think of? Service, okay. Any others? Kindness? Fixing a meal. I figured some of you women were going to come up with that one.
Fellowship.
What about good food? Everybody's scared to say that one. All of those are good definitions of hospitality. I actually, when I looked at this topic, my first thought was, why do we need to do this one? Because this is something that I see happening over and over and over here at New Holland. But the other part of it is that if we are not intentional, we will lose that part of who we are, that culture. So this morning I want to look at three questions. In the message, the first one is, what is it? The second one is, why do it? And the third one is, what is the result? Now, I've defined that a little more as we go through, other than just those three questions. But let's look at the first one. What is hospitality? The Webster Dictionary describes it as friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. So then I wanted to go to the Greek definition, and it actually was interesting because there's a couple different definitions in the Greek, and the first one is a noun, and we're going to be looking at these scriptures, so I'm going to be giving the scriptures where the word is used in its in the way it's used. And if you look at Romans 12:13 and Hebrews 13:2, it actually means literally love of strangers, where it says, be not forgetful of hospitality. And then if you go to 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1, and 1 Peter 4, it has a little different meaning in that it's an adjective, not a noun, and it means to be hospitable. But then the interesting thing was that in the vines, it actually said to look up entertain because it is very closely related. And when you go to that word, it means to receive as a guest, rendered entertained, and that is used in Acts 28 and in Hebrews 13:2, where it says have entertained angels. Or to be astonished by the strangeness of a thing, in Acts 17 and 1 Peter 4:4, or 1 Peter 4:12. Note that in Hebrews 13:2, it literally means love of strangers. To love a stranger or guest is translated to show love to someone, as in entertaining them. The word hospitality may bring to mind a hospital. I never thought of that one. Or the hospitality industry, such as a hotel, bed and breakfast, however you want to describe that. Both would be appropriate associations in both hospitals and hotels. A guest or patient is offered a place to sleep and food to eat. Another thought that was brought in there was that it would be room and board for free. And in some of the references, the scriptures that we're going to look at, that is the idea, that you bring someone into your home and you offer them room and food for free. How many times do you think the word hospitable is found in the Bible? Anybody want to take a guess? It's actually only found 15 times in the whole Bible. The idea of hospitality, however, is found scattered throughout all of the scriptures. So while that word is, or a version of that word is only found 15 times, the whole principle of hospitality is found scattered throughout. And we're going to look at some of those examples first before we go to the next one, why practice hospitality. In Genesis 18, verses 2 through 8, and I'm going to read them just simply because they're all different. They're different ways that hospitality was shown or is referred to. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed, then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three sieves of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd, selected a choice tender calf, gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set them before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Abraham was quick to give of his best to three strangers who he did not know, and he had no idea what they were there for. He invited them in, he went, he got a calf, and you know, that didn't happen just quickly. That took time. It took time for him to do that. Maybe Sarah was in cleaning the house while he was doing it, I'm not sure. Let's look at Deuteronomy 14, verses 28 through 29. And this is tithing of food. It was a command that God gave the children of Israel as they were, as He was giving them guidelines and laws that they were to observe. "At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own, and the aliens, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." Then let's turn to Isaiah 58. Verse 7. This one was a little more difficult for me to kind of follow, but it is in God. Isaiah is talking about fasting. And as he goes down through here, he talks about why should you fast? What is involved in that? But in verse 7, he says, "Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, to not turn away from your own flesh and blood." So Isaiah is giving the idea that hospitality involves clothing someone who does not have clothes. Acts 2. Verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were saved. They spent time together to grow spiritually. And then if we go to Luke chapter 19, we have an example from Jesus, verses 5 through 6. And this is where Jesus went to Zacchaeus' house. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. The example of Jesus was, he had no home, he had no place to take him, but he went to his house and he spent time with him. And Jesus found time to spend time and to share a meal with those who he was investing time in. So those are some different examples of hospitality from the Scripture. So I'd like to ask the question this morning, so why should we practice hospitality? If you'll turn to Romans chapter 12, or you can turn to Romans 12, verses 9 through 14, and I'm going to be reading quite a few scriptures here in this part, simply to kind of set a stage as to why we should practice hospitality. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. So the first thing that I would say is it is a command. Paul laid it out here in Romans 12, and he laid it out right in the same context of what he was talking about, the gifts that he had given the church, that God had given the church. But I find interesting that in verse 13, he says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Giving the idea that our hospitality should not be strictly to those who like us or who we like. That's an interesting thought there. Verse 13 also not only tells us that, but it says contribute to the needs of the saints and practice. That word seek literally means to practice. It is something that is done intentionally. It is not something that just happens. It says also to pursue. And it implies continuous action. It is something that we must be intentional to do. I think all of us understand if we are not intentional about practicing hospitality, all of a sudden we think, oh, we haven't done any hosting. We haven't had any guests in how long? Or all of a sudden we realize it's our turn to be host and hostess again, and we haven't done it. Why? Because sometimes we lose the intentional part of practicing what God tells us to do. If you go to Leviticus 19, here again is part of where God was giving the law to Israel. In verses 33 and 34, he says, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. What is interesting is for the people of God in the Old Testament, hospitality came from right from the center of who God was. He says, I am the Lord your God who made a home for you and brought you there with all my might and my soul. Therefore, you shall love your neighbor. You shall love the stranger as yourself. You shall be holy as I am holy. And that is taken from Leviticus 19:1. God is telling his people, your values need to mirror my values. When we serve God, when we serve each other, when we serve those around us, our values mirror what God values. So when I place value on someone and I invest in someone, whether I just take them to the Huddle House and buy them a greasy bowl of grits, or I take them to the root cellar and buy them a good piece of steak, I'm investing in them. I am putting value on them. When I invite you into my home, I am placing value on that relationship that we have. And I'm not only placing value on it, but I want it to grow. I want it to deepen. And when we do that same thing with guests here at New Holland, we place value on those guests. We place value on building relationships with them. 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. The end of all things is at hand, therefore be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. That one I was like, why did he have to stick that in there? Maybe I have a problem with that sometimes. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter says that the condition of our heart will determine how well we serve others. He also implies that your hospitality is an extension or an overflow of God's hospitality to you. He tells us that if we are serving others and we are really not that crazy about doing it, or we're not sure we want to do it, that's going to come through. That attitude will come through to those that we are trying to serve. He also says, as you have received a gift, use it to serve as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then he goes on to say, whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves by the strength that God supplies, that in order everything in everything God will be glorified. So it doesn't matter what your gift is. It doesn't matter what you've been given naturally that God gives you to do. There are gifts that he wants us to develop, and hospitality is one of them. And why? That in everything God may be glorified. So as we place value on others, as we place value on each other, God is glorified, because we are extending grace to those people. We are extending grace to others as well as receiving grace from them. Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 2 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And I want to put the emphasis on those three words, do not neglect. I believe that as people, it is easy for us to neglect the things that God has given us to do. And so sometimes we may find ourselves saying, well, I'm too tired, I've been doing too much, all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't do what God has given us to do. But the writer here in Hebrews, again, solidifies the command that God has given, that we are to show hospitality to strangers and to each other. So what is the result of us showing hospitality? John Piper says, when we practice hospitality, Here's what happens. We experience the refreshing joy of becoming a conduit of God's hospitality rather than being self-decaying cul-de-sacs. The joy of receiving God's hospitality decays and dies if it doesn't flourish in our own hospitality to others. Leviticus 19. It shows obedience to God's command. We can glorify God in our obedience to His commands to be hospitable. Through it, we also ascribe Him glory as we speak about Him with those we gather with. Romans 12. It shows honor. It contributes to the needs of others, and it blesses others. 1 Peter 4. It allows God's grace to flow through you and to others. The last thing that I see that I'm going to share of what is the result. In Genesis 12:3, God is speaking to Abraham and He says, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So as we place value on our relationships, as we build those relationships, as we bless others, God has promised to bless us. That should not be our primary focus or our reason for doing that. So I'm going to end with 10 reasons. Well, I'm going to bring it to an end here together. And actually, I subtitled my message, Lessons from Mr. Ray. So I've got some lessons that we can learn from Mr. Ray here this morning. 10 reasons why we should practice hospitality. Number one, it is an act of obedience and an act of faith. Number two, it glorifies God and reveals His character to others. Number three, it cultivates community. Number four, it is a tool of evangelism. Number five, John 13:35 says that the world will know we are Christ's disciples by our love one to another. To practice hospitality is an extension of God's love to us. Number six, it gives opportunity to disciple others. Number seven, we learn about other people's customs and cultures. And we learn to enjoy foods that we never thought we would enjoy. I'll give you an example. I don't like cooked cabbage, period. I'll eat it if it's in front of me and I will not complain. And if you want to make it worse, put potatoes and sausage in it. And just don't care. I don't know why. That's just never. And guess who loves it at our house? She don't mind telling you. And I don't complain about it when I get it. I eat it. But you know something that I learned to love in Romania? Was cabbage and rice and pork. Now, it's got a sauerkraut flavor to it, but I learned to love it. I've learned to enjoy eating other ethnic foods because it helps introduce me to their culture. And I actually, you know, I said it. I enjoy eating cabbage that way. And I enjoy eating it when my wife makes it for me, because she works hard to do it. But that is some of the things that we open up to our children when we bring other cultures, when we eat with other cultures. We learn to enjoy things that we never thought we would enjoy. It isn't number eight. It is an example to our children. We teach our children how to practice hospitality by the way we do it. Number nine, this is a good one. It curbs isolation and loneliness. So if you find yourself feeling isolated and lonely, throw a party. Literally. Number 10, it creates a welcoming environment to the community of Christ. And as we as a church, as we as a body, as we as a community, create that environment, it draws people. And it welcomes them. It makes them feel loved and cared about. And wives, just do it. Even if your house is a mess, sometimes just do it. They'll never remember that your house was a mess. They will remember the love that you showed to them. So some lessons from Mr. Ray. Mr. Ray always welcomed a stranger and offered them a ride, food, or a bed. He was not bashful, as we all know, and I'm sure Miss Susie was not always sure about how this was going to work out, but she just grinned and went with it. I'm not sure she had much choice most of the time. But one thing I learned about Ray from his children, and some of this I learned at the funeral, some of it I learned in conversation with them during that time, was that was who he was. That's not something that just happened in the last 10 years, 15 years. That's who he was. One of the things that was said was that they would be frustrated at closing time at the restaurant because he didn't want to lock the door because somebody might show up that was hungry that needed something to eat. That was who he was. Sometimes the people that he would bring here, we would look at and say, just a minute, do you know what you've picked up? And he always would say, yeah, but I think I can help him. I think the last one that he brought, he found out, was a little more than what he realized he had on his hands. But he didn't care. He invested in people's lives. He invested by picking them up. And I'm sure that right now, today, there are people that will never forget him, even if they've forgotten his name. Because of that. He was never shy about sharing his faith during those times, and we may never know the impact he had on those that he did help. He even gave money away that he did not have to give away because he cared about those people that he would pick up here and there, no matter what he was doing, where he was taking them. That was who he was. Our hospitality should be a defining characteristic of God's character, loving friends and strangers alike. And the question that I would ask us this morning, am I willing to be that mirror of God's character through my hospitality? Am I willing to sacrifice? No matter what, to show somebody that they are valuable to me and to God. Brian, do you have a song this morning? 774 in the Faith and Praise, and you can stand. Father, we are gathered here this morning to worship you, to hear from you, to be challenged, to be encouraged. And God, as we've looked at these lessons from Scripture, help us not just to do the commands that you've given us because they're commands, but to do them out of a heart of service, to do them out of a heart of love, to do them to show value to others, to show that they have value with you and that they have value with us. Father, sometimes we get tired, we're not sure we have time, we have all kinds of excuses. But God, help us to see people through your eyes and help us to spend the time that we need to, that you want us to bring value to their lives. Sometimes you may ask us to invest in someone who's lonely and maybe more needy than we think we have time to help. Forgive us, God, when we want to be selfish, and help us to be the mirror that you want us to be. Father, I pray that this week you would walk with us, that you would help us to live this out. in ways that are meaningful and in ways that will bring change to those around us. Thank you for loving us and help us to love others in the same way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.